Welcome to class. Good to see you all here. Before we begin, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Is it just my imagination, or is the microphone louder today than usual? Nope. Okay. Comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Yes?
Is the quiz on the first chapter
of the textbook? The quiz that was posted... So each quiz is over the stuff from the previous week. So it's some from the first chapter, more from what we did in lecture. And in general, when quizzes appear, we have already finished the material they're discussing. Other questions? Yes? All quizzes are due Saturday. And there's one due every Saturday. Generally, so I had it send out an email for this quiz. I generally won't do that. So in general, a quiz will appear on Monday, it will be due Saturday, it will be up to you to find out about that and do it. They will be every week, put it on your calendar, right, and away we go. Any other questions? Okay. I've got a few announcement type of things to discuss. Next class, Friday, and the class after that, Monday. If you can bring a laptop to class, you will find it pleasant to follow along. If you cannot, that's not a problem. But those two classes in particular, I think you'll find it useful to follow along as we begin to explore Eclipse and practice around a little bit with that. In general, you'll need computers for labs and so on, but if you're in Olson 001, there are a lot of computers there. You should have received login information for Olson 001. I did not receive login information for Olson 001. All right, so you have logins there. If you have a lab in Rice 120, you must bring your own computer. If you really can't do that, all lab assignments are done in pairs, and we'll talk about that a little bit in lab tomorrow. So you can usually share off of somebody else's computer. There's also the possibility I might be able to give loaner laptops while things are being fixed. So if your computer breaks and you really need one, come talk to me in my office, and we'll see if I am allowed to loan you one of the department's computers or not, depending on your circumstance. There is a group called the ACM, the Association for Computational Machinery. It is the largest group of computer scientists on the planet, and they have a student chapter at UVA. Tomorrow, Thursday, at 4:30 p.m. on the fourth floor of Rice, the ACM is having an ice cream social, and they have asked me to invite all of you to attend. So if you would like to go eat ice cream, talk about computing in some way, fourth floor of Rice, tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. Yes. There is the announcement. Lastly, from my list of things we need to mention in advance, I had a question about how Chapter 1 does not appear to follow very closely with what we've been discussing in lecture. And that's true. Chapter 1 is the book's version of introduction to what we'll talk about this semester, and lecture has been my version of that introduction, and the two have not lined up particularly closely. I think they're both valuable. I do want you to read the book. And I'll do something else in class to sort of try to build up. And we'll talk a little about why we're doing what I'm doing probably at the beginning of class on Friday. As we go into Chapter 2 and beyond, you'll find a much closer correlation. We'll be teaching the basics of Java and how different pieces of it work. And we will follow roughly the same process that the book does. So that correlation will become a lot tighter there. Those are the various announcements and administration stuff I had. Anything anybody has for me? Okay. So, today we are going to talk about algorithms. The book defines algorithm in a single sentence. An algorithm is a set of well-defined steps for performing a task or solving a problem. So it is a set of steps, well-defined, for some purpose. Okay. Roughly speaking, this class will teach you how to talk Java, and in particular will tell you how to talk about algorithms. Algorithms are what we're going to be telling a computer. Java is how we're going to be telling it them. Sets of steps for solving problems. So today, we're going to do sort of a preview of a few little pieces of Java and sort of talk about the idea of algorithms, some of the ins and outs of writing them. Everything we talk about today, we will go into in more detail later. So if it seems confusing to you, okay, we'll come back to it, right? But our goal is to try to give you a sort of a high-level picture of some of the things we'll be dealing with this semester. Part of the problem we sometimes have in computing classes is that this is new to you, and so we'll teach you one idea, and you'll build a mental model that contains only that idea. And we'll teach you the next one, and the old mental model will fall apart. So part of what we're going to do today, and actually for the next two classes as well, is try to give you a big picture of large numbers of things we will discuss this semester. So as we talk about the individual pieces, you'll have somewhere to put them. They will fit into your brain appropriately. So if some of this goes too quickly, if you're a little confused here and there, don't fret. Right? We'll come back and pick up all the details as we go along. So we're going to talk about algorithms today. So, algorithm, well-defined set of steps. We commonly encounter algorithms in the real world. For example, a commonly cited kind of algorithm is a recipe, which many of us have seen, and the rest of you will if you haven't, right? It's a set of steps, hopefully well-defined, although I've occasionally bumped into an algorithm that isn't. I remember the first time I made pie crust, one of the steps was cause the dough to form into pea-sized clumps. And I had no idea how to do that. It turns out you just sort of stir for a while and it happens magically. But I didn't know, right? It was not well-defined to me. So recipes are a kind of well-defined set of steps for accomplishing some purpose. We could also talk about directions, right? Go 3 blocks, turn left. Realize you went the wrong way, turn around, turn right, etc. Well-defined set of steps to accomplish some purpose. There's lots of others. So most pharmaceuticals include directions, a set of steps you should follow to take them. Take 2 before going to bed with water on empty stomach, whatever, right? A set of directions to accomplish some purpose are there as well. As we talk about directions here in algorithms, one of the things that is important for an algorithm is it needs to, in order to be well-defined, it needs to stop eventually. It needs to actually accomplish the purpose at some point. So a common algorithm that isn't really one that we see all the time comes some version of this. Lather, rinse, repeat. Shows up on most shampoo bottles. What's wrong with this? It never ends, thus inspiring the joke, why do computer scientists die in the shower? Right? They follow the directions. This actually does accomplish a purpose. It just isn't cleaning your hair. The purpose this accomplishes is emptying shampoo bottles. Right? And it's not a very efficient way to do that either. But nonetheless, right, as we're looking at algorithms, there's lots of things we can think about, and they're all over the real world. Algorithms are welcome to have ambiguity in them and so on. Like, they don't have to be computer specific. But they should be well defined. It shouldn't be unclear what they're talking about. Questions at this level? Okay. So we're going to use a running example of adding numbers today to talk about algorithms. We will almost certainly not get to all of the various things we could talk about adding numbers today. But before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about some basic syntax of Java. We're not going to get into the whole thing. We'll talk more about it next time, but we're going to get a few of the basic ideas of Java and how it uses them. So the first one we're going to talk about is the idea of a variable. Hey, variables exist in math, If you've taken algebra, hopefully you've taken algebra, you know what a variable is. They are slightly different in computing. The best way to think of a variable is as a named box. Best, that might be an exaggeration. The way we're going to think about them is as a named box. So if I have a variable named x, x is the name of a box. And something might go in the box, right? If x is 3, then there's a 3 in the box. If x is something else, it's not. Variables in Java can have any name we want as long as there's no spaces. So I could, for example, have a variable named, how about hum? Okay? And I could put things in these boxes, and there's different types of things I could put in the boxes. And we'll talk about boxes and how they behave and so on at some length as we go forward. But this is the idea of variables. They're named boxes. Very useful in describing algorithms. We have a similar idea in English. We can say, for example, take the crust out of the oven. The crust is a variable referring to a particular crust that exists, right? It's a name for an idea. And there's sort of this mental box that we use to associate that name with something in the real world. A similar idea in Java. Because they act like boxes rather than like mathematical variables, there is a very unfortunate decision that was made back when Fortran was being designed in either the 50s or 60s. I always forget when Fortran was designed. And has been in almost every programming language since, which is that equals doesn't mean equals. Equals is a special symbol in programming, and it does not mean what you think it means in math. And we will talk about what it means, and we will use it all the time. And it will confuse you many times, and then eventually you'll divide the world into two kinds of equals, math equals and computing equals, and never the twain shall meet. So what does equals mean in computing? It means, let's do it this way. If I say x equals y, I mean put y in the box named x. Only goes one direction. It's changing what's in a box. I can change what's in the box as many times as I want. I could have x equals 3 in one part of my program and x equals 4 in the next part, and I did not introduce a contradiction. I just changed what's in the box. That's all I've done. Okay? Equals does not mean equals. It means this: put it in the box. Change what's in the box. Okay? So we're going to use that as we talk about addition today. We're going to use this idea of variables and this equals that puts things in the variables. Questions about this before I talk about one more piece of Java we'll use today? No questions. Okay. The other part of Java that we're going to introduce today is methods. We talked about methods some last week when we last met, okay? Remember, methods are what we call the verbs of our language, the things that can be done. So we're going to talk about methods. There's two things we need to do with methods. We need to know how to define them, and we need to know how to use them. And these are different, right? There's a difference between describing how to bake a pie and actually baking a pie. These are different ideas, and they're different in Java too. We'll need both of them, okay? And Java has its own special way of describing each of them. So let's first talk about defining methods. Every method definition has approximately three parts. We'll see a few more later, but for now it's just going to have three parts. Well, I guess four. But the first line is going to have three. When we define a method, we need to give the method a name. Okay? Every method has to have a name. These are kind of like variable names, but instead of describing boxes for things, they describe things we can do. And we can pick any name we want. It doesn't really matter. But in addition to the name, we need to give it two other things. We need to say what it produces, or what kind of thing, what type it produces. And we need to say what it needs to work. So let's take some algorithms we're used to seeing and show what this would mean. For example, I might have a method that returns a pie, that gives back a pie. A pie is produced. I will call it bake pie because I'm creative. And let's see, it needs, how about a crust? I'll call my crust X, and it needs a filling F. There's several new pieces here I introduced, but let's, what do we have? We have the thing that comes back, the type of thing that comes back, it's going to give me a pie. A name, I picked a name which looks like bake pile. Okay, I accidentally put two I's there or something, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm baking piles. I need to give it two things, okay? And each of these things I give it has a type. What type of thing is it? And the name we're going to use inside a recipe, okay? So we have that again here. Here's type. And here is name. And that is a really ugly looking F. So just by looking at this one line, I know, okay, I'm about to describe how to bake a pie. The result is going to be a pie. And you have to give me both a crust and a filling in order for this to work. There is actually one more piece here, which is between curly braces, we put what to do. We will use lots of curly braces in this class. Learn where it is on your keyboard. Okay. So what an entire method definition has these four parts. What type it produces, its name, what you have to give it for it to work, and what you do to create that thing. Questions about these parts? We will see an example, but any questions about the concept as discussed thus far? Yes?
The whole thing considered a method?
The whole thing, including what's in the curly braces, is considered a method definition. Okay? So a method definition and then using it, a method invocation, can both be called the method. Usually if we use method without saying either definition or invocation, we mean the definition, but not always. So I will try to be clear which one I mean as often as I can. Any other questions? Okay, how do I use this method? I think I can do this on the same slide. Yeah, let's do it here. Okay. So to use or invoke a method. Yeah, it's not going to fit. I'm going to go to the next slide. All right, so to use or invoke a method, you try to draw your eyes so they look like I's, not T's. Okay. Invoke is the word we will usually use in programming to describe using methods. Sometimes you'll also see call or execute, invoke, use. We use them all. Anyway, the idea here is we're going to do something like, let's put in some variable called x, the results of baking a pie. And then we have to put actual things here. Okay? So let's suppose somewhere I have a box called A, and in this box called A, I happen to have a pie crust, okay? And somewhere I've got a box called B, and in this box called B, I have some sort of lumpy pie filling. Green, because of course we're making a vegetable pie, right? Then I would need to put in order A, B. Okay, order matters. Order is how we know which one's the crust and which one's the filling. It has to match whatever we did before, and now I'm suddenly unsure if I put them in the same order. I did, crust and then filling. If I put them in the other way, The method would try to use the filling as the crust, and the crust as the filling, and it would probably fail. Okay? And the result of this would be, in box X, we would have a nicely created pie, which will look very much like a crust, but it will also have inside of it some filling. Right? Invocation. Go do this thing. So we have to talk about how to define methods and how to use them. Different syntax, right? When I use them, I don't say the type of what it if it gives me. I don't say the types of the things I give it. I just put the name and values. When I'm defining it, I do need all of those types, and I also need the curly braces to actually describe what is going to happen. Any questions about this? Yes?
How do you see what's in the box?
How do I see what's in the box? Right now, we're just going to assume we magically know. We will see how to see what's in a box a week from today. Because how to look inside a box is kind of tedious and dull. And so we'll get to it, because we'll get to everything. It won't take us long, but we'll try to hit a lot of the more interesting things first. So as we look at Java on Friday and on Monday, we'll sort of skip right over looking in boxes and start making the boxes do things and draw pictures on your screen and so on. Any other questions? Okay. So we're going to talk about how to describe an algorithm using these little pieces. And to describe one algorithm, we always have to describe it in terms of others, sort of all the way down. Okay? So at the highest level, as we're talking about algorithms, we're going to assume we have some algorithms existing. Assume the following exist. Right? Just going to magically assume that two algorithms have already been written for us. I'm going to have a ones place add that takes two digits. Digit A, digit B. And it's going to give me back a digit. And we'll talk about what these will do. And I'll also have another one that gives me back a digit. And I apparently can't spell digit today. Will be the tens place add. I really can't spell digit. So what do I mean by this? We're going to talk about how to add, assuming you've already learned the most elementary part. Okay? Or the second most elementary part. I guess the most elementary part is counting, right? But I'm going to assume that you have two methods. One of them is able to add two one-digit numbers and give me the ones place of the result. The other will give me the tens place of the result. Okay? So if I were to invoke ones place add and give it the numbers 7 and 8, it would give me back 5. Because that's the ones place of 7 plus 8. If I were to invoke tens place add with 7 and 8, it would give me back 1. Because the tens place of 7 plus 8 is 1. Just gives me back that one digit. I want you to say more about what these do. I find it confusing. Okay. Let's just run some examples then. All right. I'm going to abbreviate these things. OPA. Let's start 0, 0. If I add 0 and 0, what's the result?
0.
And so what's the ones place of that answer?
0.
How about ones place add 8 and 9? 7, right? The answer is 17. The ones place is 7. Okay, how about the tens place of each of these? Let's do a tens place add of, oh, let's do the same number, 0, 0. What's in the tens place of 0 plus 0? 0. And how about the tens place of 8 and 9? A 1. And that one did not have a chorus of people. Maybe you're getting tired of chorusing. That's fine. I want you to explain more about tens place add of 8 and 9. Nobody. Okay, so I'm going to assume somebody else wrote these methods. Somebody else defined how they work. We have them magically. Okay? And we're going to use these methods to define a new method. It's a simple method. It's one we all know how to do. But the goal is to sort of see the process of turning a conceptual I know how to do that into a written algorithm. Okay? Which has more steps than you might imagine. So, here's what I want to define. It's going to look very much like the other ones. I'm going to define a ones place add that takes digit A, digit B, and notice my surprising cleverness, digit C. Three digits. Okay? I want to define this method. And I'm so out of space. There. Okay. Put my curly brace there. Okay. How do I add 3 one-digit numbers? I know how to add 3 one-digit numbers. Great. It turns out that basic arithmetic is one of the only actual prerequisites for this course. Yes, you had a thought. All right, so we add the first two, then we add the third one in. Does it have to be in that order? No, but sure, we'll use that order. It's fine by me. Okay, so do I want the ones place addition, the tens place addition, or both? Both. All right, so I'm going to have to add, so I'm going to do a ones place add of A and B. That's going to get me the ones place of A and B. I'll call that, oh, what shall I call it? Let's call it X. Now I've got the ones place of having added A and B. Do I need the tens place too? Yep, okay. So I'm going to get the tens place of adding A and B. Okay. Now what? What do I add to C? I add X to C. I add Y to C. Something other than those two options. Oh, so hard. All right, let's think about arithmetic. Does the ones place care what Y is at all? The tens place has no impact on the ones place ever at all, forever and a day. It will never matter. Right? There is no difference in the ones place if the sum of A and B was 11 versus 1. If it was 15 versus 5, it doesn't matter. All I care about is that last digit, right? Because the tens place will always be at least 10 or bigger. And so it will never come back to haunt me. So all I actually care about, not needed, okay? I didn't need to do that. I can. There's nothing wrong with doing that. We all learn to add this way. We don't throw away the tens places, okay? But what I really need to do is another ones place addition with the ones place I got and the remaining digit. Right? And then I'm done. Z is the answer. I don't care about the tens place here either, because I just don't care about tens places. This is a ones place addition. I don't care about the tens places. The way we say, I am done, here is the answer in Java, is with something called a return statement. So I'm going to say, return Z. give back to whoever asked me to do this addition the answer, which was the Z. And my Z's look awfully like 2, so let's try the old style Z's with crosses. Okay. So, here we have how to add 3 1-digit numbers, assuming we know how to add 2 1-digit numbers, in the ones place. Yes?
So all this is inside the closed bracket?
All of this is in the curly braces, yes. The things we do are inside curly braces. You will notice that a curly brace starts here and ends here. Okay? Yes? We'll talk about how they're separated. They're actually separated with semicolons, because we love semicolons. But we'll talk more about semicolons and the weirdness of semicolons and how you need an extra one that you shouldn't need when we come back on Friday. There are other things. This is not valid Java in several ways. We actually have to tell Java that X is going to be a box and what kind of things it can store. There's various pieces that are missing, okay? We'll get to all of those. The goal here is just sort of think about the basics of how equals works, because it will blow your mind, and the more days you have to think about it, the better. And how we could sort of put these algorithms together. Other questions? Yes?
Are names of variables and methods of things case-sensitive once you define
them? Everything is case-sensitive. Yes, it turns out that Java cares passionately about case. Usually you can use whatever case you want. Occasionally it forces your hand. There are lots of things Java will let you do anything, and it gets so confusing if you do, and so we will have style guidelines on top of it. So one of the general rules when we're dealing with names of anything is each new word will be capitalized. First words usually won't. There are exceptions to that. We'll talk about all of these guidelines as we go along. But I could have done anything. Java actually has almost all of Unicode involved. So I could have named this method instead of ones place add, I could have named it, let's see, how about pi null, let's try a squiggly C Sedelia, right? And that would have been a perfectly valid name for this method. It would just be really hard to type, right? So there are guidelines as to what we can do, but Java usually doesn't care. It does think that capital A and lowercase a are different. It also thinks that O and zero are different. Shocking behavior. Other questions? Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. Write tens place add for 3 digits. Okay? Now, you will find this more enjoyable, as most things are, if you do it with somebody else. I would encourage you to be nice to the people around you and work together. Your life will be better, you will learn more, and everybody will have more fun. If you hate all other people, I am sorry, life must just really be painful. Let's wander around. Sam and I will be wandering around. If you have questions, feel free to flag us down. We'll try to answer them. Define how to get the tens place addition of adding 3 digits.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. first line, yes.
It's the coordinate is the same, and then I use the Y box.
Use the boxes however you want to use them.
Okay.
I could have left out that line completely.
Wait, does tens place add only return the tens place of the addition? Or?
That is correct. Only the tens place.
All right, so it doesn't add the tens place of each number?
No, no, they're single digits, so they don't have tens places.
Oh, okay.
A working version of this. Be proud. Five of you. Okay, I have something, but I don't think it's right. I really didn't even know how to begin. I was ashamed to raise my hand for any of the earlier questions. All right. Let's start with some things that don't work. Okay? I'm going to start with one. Hopefully, I didn't see anybody do it in the 1 o'clock lecture I did, but I didn't see anybody do it here. But let's do this. X equals tens place add A, B, C. Return X. What is wrong with this definition? Is anything wrong? I think there's something wrong with this definition, even though, yes, I don't, even though Professor Tikhanovich said there is. All right, so, what's wrong with it? Most of you said there's something wrong with it. What's wrong with it? Yeah.
You're defining the method as the method you're defining.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if life worked this way, right? You would come to class, I would say, in this class we will teach you how to program. Here it goes, how to program. Program. Done. You've all learned how to do it, right? Doesn't work that way. Java is actually really stupid, though. And so it will do what we write if we tell it to do this. Okay? So here's approximately what Java would do if we gave it a Java version of this. We would say, add these three numbers, and it would come along and say, okay, let me see what I'm supposed to do first. First thing I need to do to add these three digits is add these three digits. Let's try and look up how we do that. Ah, here we go. First thing I need to do is add these three digits. Let's look up how to do that. Ah, here we go. First thing I need to do is add these three digits. Let's look up how to do that. Ah, here we go. And it will keep going and going and going and going and going and going until it actually runs out of memory, and the reason it runs out of memory is it goes try to remember how many times it did this. Right? So every time it does this, it'll sort of like write it down. I use this method. I use this method. I use this method. And eventually it'll use up all of the memory on your computer. Literally. It won't take very long, a few milliseconds maybe. And then it will run out of memory and blow up. Not physically, fortunately, but it will crash into the program and away it goes. Okay? So we'll see this, we'll see why towards the end of the semester there's actually benefits to having it do that, but this is clearly wrong. Right? Because it's clearly wrong, I'm going to be creative here and write wrong. Alright, that's the wrong thing to do. Let's talk about another wrong thing to do. Okay? Let's do x equals tens place add of a and b, y equals tens place add of x and c. I should not draw them. Let me try this again. Return y. My method looks approximately like this. Yes! Congratulations, you think like most people. You're also wrong. Okay? What's wrong with this? Yeah?
C is a single digit, so tens place will always be 0. And it's not
necessary. Okay, so tens place won't always be 0. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm defining x as a single digit. It is a single digit, right? The tens place is one digit. You're right. Yeah.
You're adding the numbers to. You're adding the tens place to the c, which is not what you want. You want the tens place to be added to the tens place.
Oh yeah. Okay. So is c a ones place or a tens place? So ones. And how about x? It's a tens, and does adding tens places to ones places make sense? Let's try it. Let's suppose these numbers are all 8. Okay? The tens place of 8 plus 8 is 1. So x is 1, c is 8. The tens place of 1 plus 8 is 0. Not what we wanted, right? I hope it's not what you wanted. We should have wanted a 2. Right, so c is a tens place, x is adding them together, there's something wrong there, in the same kind of way that like adding seconds to meters is weird in physics. It just doesn't quite fit. Okay? I think I have a corrector solution than this. Okay, about 15 of us. Let's see a correct solution. There are several select correct solutions. Tens, place, add. I am going to be sloppy here. And just write it shortly. Okay. What should I do? What is the right way to approach this task? I could just show you the answer and you'd all say, ah. But that wouldn't teach you very much. So let's talk about instead how you solve problems. How do you solve a problem you already know how to solve? First, you do it, okay? So let's just do one. Let's say 8, 7, and 9. I want to add these up. As a human, what do you do? We're going to have to tell Java to do that, because Java's not going to be smarter than us, okay? So I'm going to walk through what I do as a human. There are lots of ways of doing this. Let's just quickly find out. When I do this, I have a tick marks for the carries. When I do this, I get the full digit for every new number. So I would add 15 and then I'd add 9 to 15. Okay, that's the winning solution, so that's how we're going to do it. So the first thing I do is I take 8 plus 7. And I get 15. And then you do 15 plus 9. And I get, that is going to be 5 plus 9, which gives me 14. And then I add the 1 back in to get 24. Did I do this right? Good. always worried that I get the wrong answers. Okay? Now, you notice I did some funky things here that you don't actually do when you're normally doing it, because we pretend like we can add one digit and two digit numbers, because most of us know our addition tables and can actually do that. We didn't used to know them, we used to have to do it manually, right? And Java is still stupid enough, it has to do it manually. So we have to remember that was a step, right? Adding the 1 into the 1 of the 14 was a step that we did. And the end result of this, that we care about, because we're doing tens place addition, is that number right there. Okay? We're going to have to do at least that much work. We can ignore stuff that only impacts the ones digit, but we're going to have to do the same kind of work. We can't magically skip steps. So what's the first thing we have to do? Well, the first thing we did was add the first two numbers. Did we use the tens place result? Yes, we used the 1 from 15. No, we did not use the 1 from 15. Okay, it sounds like we did use the 1 from 15. Did we use the 5 from 15? Yes, we used the 5. No, we didn't use the 5. All right, most people think we used the 5. I agree, so we'll get them both. Okay, so I'm going to pick different names this time. I'm going to call it Dana. It's going to be the ones place add of A and B. And how about Chris? Is going to be the tens place add of A and B. Why am I using random names? Because I can! And I don't want you to think they always have to be single letters. They don't. So I add those two numbers together. I get two digits. I put them in different boxes. Now what? I have my 15. I want to add 9 to it. Which of the two digits of 15 do I add the 9 to? The 5. Right? This ones place digit. Oops. So here I'm going to make... I'm going to have to add the 9 and the 15. And that's going to give me a 14. Do I need both of those digits? Which one don't I need? So all I need is the tens place, okay? I will call this one Wiffle. Okay, it's going to be a tens place add of, oh dear. Is it Dana plus C or Chris plus C? Dana? All right. So in general, we shouldn't use names like Dana or C for that matter, because they're confusing. But we'll talk about that later. Okay? Now I've got the tens place from that. What's left to do? Which one? Wiffle and Chris. I want to add them together. Let's use a better name. Answer is ones place add of Chris and Wiffle. Return the answer. Why ones place add instead of tens place add? Because I'm interested in the ones place of the result. Each of those numbers is either 0 or 1. The tens place is guaranteed to be 0. That's not interesting. The interesting thing is the ones place of adding those digits. Right? The ones place of adding those digits is a 0, 1, or a 2. That's what I want. The tens place of adding those digits would be the hundreds place of the answer, which I know is 0. Okay? If that was a little confusing to you, don't worry about it too much. All right. We're out of time, so let me try to tie this together. Some things to note. You all know how to add numbers. You've been doing it for many, many years, and it's still hard to tell a computer what to do. This will be true. You will get better at it, but it'll take some time. There are lots of places we could go. If you want to play around with this on your own, you might think about, how would I add two-digit numbers? How about if I had arbitrarily big numbers? Could I add those too? We won't talk about those in class because we'll jump into Java. We might, probably never will come back to this, frankly. But there we are. So on Friday, please remember to bring your computer if you have one, and I will see you all on Friday.